ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and Prashanti Nilayam is gearing up for one of the most colorful celebrations in the calendar of Puttaparthi, Krishna Janmashtami. The only celebration where you have the flora and fauna so beautifully represented in the Sai Kulwanth Hall. In the divine presence of Swami, you have Sai Geeta coming in, you have peacock, you have dogs, you have cows, and you have the lovely, beautifully decorated cows. So everyone joins in this lovely celebration of Krishna Janmashtami in Prashanti Nilayam, and it is just a day away. We are offering you the story of how the Sri Satya Sai Gokulam in Prashanti Nilayam came into being as part of our Prashanti Chronicle series. So this video is going to be offered on our YouTube channel in a day from now. So probably tomorrow morning you can watch this story of the beautiful home for cows that Swami has gifted to all of us in Prashanti Nilayam. Swami was so particular about cows being a part of his earthly mission. In fact, the Gokulam is one of the very first institutions that Swami set up way back in 1975, even before the college in Prashanti Nilayam came into being. The Gokulam was there. In fact, right after the college was set up in Vrindavan in Bengaluru in 1969, in 2-3 years itself, Swami started the Gokulam in a very small way in the Vrindavan ashram. So you had so many cows who were served by the students even as they were studying. It was really like the ashram life of the yesteryears, of the bygone era, where the students would stay in the hermitage of the guru and serve the guru, look after the garden, look after the household, look after the cows, and then in a clear, undistracted environment, learn the teachings of the highest truths from the guru. It was a similar environment that Bhagwan created way back in the 70s, the students would look after the cows, students would do everything. They would do the cooking, they would do the cleaning, they would go to the city, bring the stuff, they would be part of looking after the guests who came to Bhagwan. They would be the people who looked after even the administration of the hostel. They looked into everything. It was a self-sufficient home, and Swami was the father, mother, guru, teacher, guide, God, everything. And once they were fully into this, they knew how Swami will work with them, protect them, be with them, take care of them, safeguard them at every step. You speak to anyone from those times, 71, 72, 73, all those students, the number of stories that they can narrate are innumerable, and each one is a priceless gem, because those are the foundation years of the Sri Satya Sai system of integral education. And Bhagwan ensured that the students developed love for every being of the creation. And to love animals, the easiest, I feel, is to look at the cow. How gentle it is. How giving it is and how serene, pious this animal is. No wonder it is so much a part of the life of Krishna, and it was the same and it continues to be the same in the case of Sai Krishna. So this new episode of Prashanti Chronicle will tell you the story of how Bhagwan started the Sri Satya Sai Gokulam in 1975 in Puttaparthi, even though the Gokulam was there in Vrindavan earlier than this date. And since 1975, Swami always ensured that the hostels had the benefit of pure protein-rich milk for the sustenance of the boys, which came from the Gokulam. All the cows in our Gokulam are served organic feed. Swami has special fields to grow grass for the cows in Puttaparthi. They are never given any hormones, rarely given antibiotics. They are generally disease-free. They do not have all the toxins that generally many cows elsewhere have because of the amount of medicines that are pumped into them. Swami always said that the cows are like our mothers. And the cows here are taken care of even after they become old and stop yielding milk. Swami would always ask, will you abandon your parents once they stop earning income? And so, a big number of the cows of our Gokulam are old, but they are always taken care of till the last moment. And it's so moving when you see the dedication of the people who are serving in Bhagwan's Gokulam. The way Swami has looked after each one of them. I was talking to Venkatarama Raju, one worker in Gokulam who has been serving since 1977. He was telling me how a few days after he came here and joined the Gokulam, his daughter, who was probably 15 years old then, one day she fell in the bathroom and she was unconscious. So Venkatarama Raju took him to our hospital. She was unconscious in spite of all the efforts by the doctors. And the doctors finally said that there is no point waiting because they have tried everything to bring her back, but nothing seems to be working. So probably he should take the daughter away, take her body away. But Venkatarama Raju said, no, just give me a little time. Next morning he went to the mandir. He sat in the darshan line, and when Bhagwan came, he got up. Swami asked what happened, and he said, Swami, my daughter is not well. She's not opening her eyes. Swami immediately said, I will take care. Don't worry. I will take care. And very interestingly, the moment Swami said, I will take care, the exact moment the daughter opened her eyes in the hospital and asked, where am I? Why did you bring me here? This is how Swami looked after and continues to look after every person who is dedicated to his mission. In the Bhagavad Gita, so beautifully Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, I will look after you. Ananyas Chintayantomam Ye Janaparyupasate Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. If you think of me, if you dedicate your life to me, whoever he may be or she may be, I will look after that person entirely. In the previous episodes of Outside Inside Deep Inside, I've been sharing with you lovely stories of devotees who came to Bhagwan in the 40s and 50s. I've been sharing with you anecdotes, so beautifully documented in the book Shri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. Shrimati C. Sucharita has penned these priceless stories. There were very few devotees who had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan, recognize that he is divine when he was in his teens, when he was just 18, 19, 20. But there were this group of 6 to 8 families in Bangalore who were convinced that Swami is avatar, and they continued to come to Prashantalayam. They were drawn to his presence. They could not wait to be with Swami. And the kind of things that they have experienced then, the kind of facets of his divinity that they were witness to, are so spellbinding. So let me take you back to those days. In the 40s, coming to Parthi was very tedious. No transportation, no communication, no facilities like water, shelter, etc. But the devotees longed to come because they just wanted to be near Swami, hear him, see him, fill their hearts with his divine words, thoughts. So all the challenges of coming just got nullified the moment they stepped into this divine hamlet. Swami was just 17, 18 years old. But the way Swami used to fill their lives with energy and love and take care of their physical, mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual well-being, that used to leave them so hungry for his love. The elders brought the little children, and because all these people were so stuck to tradition and our values and culture, that same thing got into the lives of these youngsters. They also longed to be with Swami. Sai Sannidhi. They wanted to be at the lotus feet of Swami. The spiritual bonding that each person has had then was one to one. Each person used to feel that Swami Navaru, Swami is mine. Memu Swami Varu, we belong to Swami. Swami belongs to us. That is how these people felt. There were two words that got imprinted in their hearts in stone, and that is total trust, implicit faith, and a sense of complete surrender. Because they saw that once they have these two, their whole life becomes a wonder. In fact, there are so many instances that Srimati Sucharita narrates in this book. So in the early 50s, her youngest sister was 7 months old. Swami had named her Dwaraki. She was running temperature, and that day being a Thursday, Sucharita's mother, who was a stickler for rituals, was worried about not getting the articles for her daily worship. So her sister, Srimati Sharadamma, took charge of the sick baby so that the mother could go and buy the articles for the puja. The baby was in the cradle and she was asleep. Aunt was sitting by the cradle and she was saying her prayers, and suddenly the aunt saw that the baby was moving and the baby was calling out, "Baba, Baba, Baba." So she bent down and she picked the baby, and to her utter astonishment, she saw fresh vibhuti on the baby's forehead, and the baby had gone off to sleep peacefully. Sharadamma didn't know how this happened. And the minute her sister returned with the puja articles, she explained the whole thing. But the baby was sleeping so serenely, the temperature had come down completely. They could only shed silent tears of love and gratitude to Swami. Again, during 1946-47, the elders and a group of aunts had returned from Puttaparthi, and they were reliving their experiences of being with Bhagwan. They were sitting in the backyard of the house in Bengaluru. one afternoon and contemplating on all the sweet moments they had spent with Bhagwan. And they were waiting, when can we go back again? They were looking for which festival, which function, because in those days there were hardly any major celebrations. So one aunt came up with a wonderful plan. She said, see, my brother, at that point in time, Sucharita's brother was just 3 years old. And so this aunt suggested, why don't we have the hair cutting ceremony of this little brother at Puttaparthi? So they all liked that. But then they just left it off as a wishful thinking, because they were just thinking how to create a ceremony so that they can be in Puttaparthi. So Sucharita was small, her brother was just 3 years old, and these aunts were discussing, mother and aunt were discussing how to go back. And so it was just a thought. Weeks passed by, and the mother noticed that this little boy, Sai Prasad, he was also named by Bhagwan, really needed that ceremony to be done because his hair was getting knotty. And day by day, she was wondering how to get this done. They came to Puttaparthi. Why not ask Swami about it? So the mother, when she went to Puttaparthi and she told Swami that, Swami, the hair of my son is getting knotty now, we're thinking what to do. And then Swami said, you people think and wish things but never work for it, Swami said. So the mother could not really understand why Swami said that. And then Swami came out again. Swami said, see, that day you were talking in your room in the backyard of your house that you want this ceremony to be done, but you just talk and you leave it there. You don't work for it. And that is when they realize how Swami is a silent witness to every conversation. Every day they were becoming aware of the omnipresence of Bhagwan. As she says, the omnipresence of Swami is something that one has to experience to believe. And so, a grand function was planned, and so many uncles and aunts and children, they came to Puttaparthi, and Swami himself cut the hair of Sai Prasad. And the function was a beautiful one, such a memorable one for the family. And it only reinforced in their minds that how they should be careful about every thought, because everything is known to Swami. Everything is transparent to Bhagwan. In fact, one of her cousins, Sashikala, she had a wonderful experience when she was a teenage girl. She suffered from tonsillitis and her doctor advised her to go in for surgery. But her aunt, Jayadevi, did not dare to decide an operation for the firstborn. She thought, I should first ask Swami. So, Srimati Jayadevi, she comes to Puttaparthi and Swami calls them in for an interview. And Swami asks the couple to stay for a few days in Puttaparthi. And Swami materializes 10 tablets and asks her to swallow one tablet every night. So this little girl, Sashikala, gets 10 tablets and every night she used to swallow one tablet as instructed by Bhagwan, and at the end of 10 days her tonsil had disappeared. So many such lovely tales from the beautiful times of living with Swami every day. Every time they came, because Puttaparthi did not have hospitals or any such facilities, people would fall sick with little things, especially small children would get into minor health problems. So for them, H was their home nurse. H was not hospital for them. Their home nurse was Swami. D was not doctor for them. D was their Dhanvantri. Dhanvantri is a god of health. That is how Swami looked after every person and Once they trusted Swami, they saw that Swami was there. Swami was looking after them like the eyelids protect the eye. In fact, on one occasion, this Sai Prasad, when he was 2 years old, he developed high temperature. He was in Puttaparthi then. There was a doctor among the devotees who offered to help the child. Swami also was nearby. The doctor kept the clinical thermometer in the boy's mouth. But before the thermometer could be taken out of the boy's mouth, this child, by mistake, bit the mercury bulb. And the catastrophic thing happened. All that mercury went into the stomach of this boy through the throat. And everyone was so scared because all of us know how dangerous this chemical is to the body. And they all came and they were pleading with Swami to save the child. And Swami very calmly held the child's hand in his one hand. And then Swami materialized Vibhuti and forcefully Swami put it into the boy's mouth. And then Swami kept stroking the child. A few moments passed, there was pin drop silence. And then suddenly the boy vomited the entire poison out, the mercury out. And then Swami looked at the mother and said, I have brought back your son from Lord Yama. Lord Yama is the god of death. I have brought back your son from the god of death. Take care. Yoga kshemam vahamyam. Innumerable are such instances and each more dramatic than the other. That is how the people experienced the beautiful leelas of Sai Krishna way back in the 40s and 50s. రక్త సంరక్షక దయాభిరామ. సో మెనీ ఇన్స్టెన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ హౌ భగవాన్ కేమ్ టు ద రెస్క్యూ ఆఫ్ ద డివోటీస్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ శ్రీమతి సుచరిత, వెన్ షీ వాజ్ అడ్రెసింగ్ ఎ గ్రూప్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్ ఇన్ వాషింగ్టన్ ఇన్ 1996, వన్ ఆఫ్ ది డివోటీస్ ఆస్క్డ్ దేర్, all your experiences seem to center around women and children. What did your men folk do? How did they take it? And at that point in time, Srimati Sucharita, she started narrating a very beautiful incident that happened in 1944. That was before the old mandir had come up in Puttaparthi. So in those days, all the devotees used to stay in Karnam Subbamma's house. Swami also used to stay in Subbamma's house. And those were the days where people had so much access to Bhagwan. Karnam Subbamma's house was a very big one, and she had lot of love for the devotees. The people too respected her so much. In fact, she was someone who commanded respect of not only people of Puttaparthi but also of people from neighboring villages. And there was a huge hall in that house. And right in the middle of that hall was a raised platform with four pillars in four corners. And both the men and women of those days used to come, the devotees who loved this ritualistic approach. They used to do formal pujas to Bhagwan. So the ladies would make arrangements for lamps, rangoli, mango leaves, banana plants and a host of other things that are needed for doing this elaborate puja rituals for Swami. And Swami used to enjoy it. Swami would allow them to do everything, whatever gave them joy. And they used to do this Pada Puja ceremony, wherein they used to offer worship to Bhagwan's feet. So one Thursday, they had planned this Pada Puja. All the arrangements were done. And in fact, in those days, even as they were doing Pada Puja, they had so many songs for each and every aspect of the puja. When the puja began, they sang a particular song, and then they moved to the next song when the different ritual was done. So that's how it's a very elaborate process, and they had very beautiful musical accompaniments for the puja. And after the aarti is done, when the puja is complete, and everyone offer salutations to Bhagwan, after that the elders, they start doing pradakshina. They circumambulate Bhagwan. They go in circles around Swami, chanting shlokas around Swami's chair. And generally Swami's chair would be kept in the middle of that raised platform. So once, after that fifth round was done, and devotees, that is the time when they offer the garland to Swami, and then they touch his feet. So when one of Sucharita's aunts was doing that, when she was circumambulating and taking namaskar, touching Bhagwan's feet, this aunt, Subhadra Raval, she saw a talisman right on top of the heap of flowers at Bhagwan's feet. And when she saw that, she got surprised, and she just looked at Swami and said, "Swami, what is this? Because very strange, how is it that there is a talisman at your feet?" And Swami very lovingly said, "Take it. It is your husband's only. He lost it while at work in the factory." Her husband was working at Hindustan Aeronautics Limited in Bangalore. "Yesterday, your husband lost it in the factory. He was searching for it everywhere. In fact, he has already written a letter to you to ask me about it. You're going to get that letter now. In any case, now you write to him that you have already got it. There is no need to worry." So this is how Bhagwan was looking after every little thing of these devotees. Here was an instance where one of the men folk devotees, he had lost his talisman in the HAL factory, and next day when the wife is going around Swami, suddenly she finds that at Swami's feet, everything is there at his feet. And Swami is telling, he has already written a letter, you will get that letter, but don't worry, just tell him that you have already got it. So that is how Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam, that is how Bhagavan has been doing the Bhakta Rakshana of the devotees. During 1944-45-50 is when the old Mandir came up. And at that point in time, people used to stay in the old Mandir. The Prashantalayam was inaugurated in 1950. So on one occasion, when the group, this group from Bangalore was at Puttaparthi, after a festival, Swami had to go to Bangalore for 3 days to attend a very big function. And all these devotees wanted to be in Parthi only when Swami was there. And now here is a situation where they are in Parthi and Swami is going off to Bangalore. And for them to stay in Puttaparthi without Swami was unimaginable. What will they do there? Why should they stay in Puttaparthi? So all these people, they went to Swami and they requested that, Swami, please allow us to go because you're not going to be here. So we will go back to Bangalore. Swami said, no, no, no. You stay here only. I'm going to come back. Just like a mother would convince her children, Swami told them, no, no, don't worry. I'm going to come back very soon. People are very afraid also, because at that point in time, there were a lot of people who used to oppose Swami, and a lot of people jealous of Swami. So they thought, you know, they can be also put to harm. If Swami is not there, there is nobody to protect them. And besides, what will they do? There is no charm of Puttaparthi without Swami. But Swami insisted, also, no, no, you stay here. So finally, Swami went, but before he left, Swami also gave these people some work to do. Swami gave them a set of his robes, and Swami said, you wash them and keep it ready for use, for my use when I return. So finally, these people had some work, something to do, and now they had to eagerly wait for Bhagwan to come. So Swami left by the afternoon that day, and so these 15 to 20 adults and a few children, they were now in Puttaparthi. Evening bhajans happened as usual. But there was no charm in the bhajans. Without Swami, they felt that it was too much of a vacuum to endure. They sang all these melancholic songs, Swami, come back. Oh, Swami, oh, Swami. So after the evening bhajans and they had their dinner and again they were waiting, will Swami come back, will Swami come back? Every one of them was eagerly waiting, when will he come back, when will he come back? And they were not getting sleep. So all of them, they were talking to each other in whispers. They were talking about the time that they have spent with Swami. The verandas adjacent to the bhajan hall at the back was where the ladies were. And in the front, the ladies and the gents were sleeping. It was 11 p.m. in the night. And suddenly, all these people, they heard a voice. It was Swami's voice from the bhajan hall. Amai! Amai, Swami's calling. They knew it was Swami's voice. Swami's calling out, Amai, Amai. And immediately, one of the elders got up and, oh Swami, you have come. Oh Swami, our mother Sai, you have come, you have come. And they heard the voice, Manchidi, Manchidi. Again Swami's voice, Manchidi, good, good, good. It was so real. It was absolutely Swami's voice saying, Amai, calling out. Then Swami saying, good, good. And they felt that Swami, even though he's not there physically, he is there and he's so much there. And how beautifully he's letting us know, making us hear his voice. Swami says, Intane, ventane, kantane, jantane, unnanu. I am there with you, in you, around you, above you, below you, around, with you. So the next morning, all these devotees got up. They went to Chitravati River. They washed the clothes and they kept them ready for Bhagwan and waited for him to come. But they knew that once Swami says, I will be with you, he is there with you. Once again, during 1947-48, having stayed in Puttaparthi for some time, the devotees, as they were returning home, they were very sad, very depressing. It was all the time. It's like they are losing all the joy of their life, all the freedom of their life. At that point in time, it was not a good environment outside also, because it was the time of India's independence. There was a lot of strife, there was a lot of struggle, there was a lot of Hindu-Muslim conflict. Everywhere there were disturbances. In fact, they used to avoid the Penukonda station. They used to go to another station, Makkajipalli, instead of Penukonda, to catch the train to Bangalore because of all the unrest that was happening in that area. And the means of transport to come to Puttaparthi after the train was only a bullock cart. 15 to 20 people with a group of children, they should always have two bullock carts arranged. And so once Swami gave the final interview, the elders were pleading to Swami, "Swami, please be with us through this journey because a lot of disturbances outside. The bullock carts had to cross the river Chitravati and then they have to cross the woods. The journey would start around 6 a.m. and by the time they reach these 30-40 kilometers to the railway station, Makkaji railway station, it would be 1 p.m. Swami assured that, "I will be with you, I will take care of you, don't worry, don't worry." But all the people were so sad, the pangs of separation was too much. And Swami was there, Swami stood at the Mandir gate till the people left and till they could see Swami, they saw Swami and finally Swami bid them farewell. So after they took their darshan of Swami, the cart started moving. The elders were sitting in the two carts and they were talking about all the beautiful moments, reliving each and every incident that they had gone through their lovely stay. And both the occupants in both the carts, they went on narrating these experiences and each one was telling the story. And each one wanted the other to soak in that glory equally. When the carts entered the wooded area, the aunts went on with their conversations and there was somehow an expectation, there was a feeling that, "Oh Swami, we are thinking so much about you, we are missing you, if only we can see you once, Swami, once we should be able to see you, Swami, we are now in the woods, you told us you will be with us, Swami, please. Can we just see you once again?" And as the carts kept moving, the occupants of the second cart, suddenly someone gasped there. He said, "Swami is there, Swami is there, Swami is walking behind us, Swami is walking behind." And it was so true. The occupants of the second cart, they saw that Swami was really walking. They had to pinch themselves to make sure that it was really a real. One elderly aunt, she started exclaiming, "Vastiva Tandri, oh God, you have really come. Oh Father, you have come." And once she shouted, everyone was alerted and they, in a hushed silence, they saw Swami walking behind that bullock cart. And they shouted, "Swami, Vachi, Vachi Re, Swami has come, Swami has come, Swami has come." And Swami kept waving his hands. They were seeing Swami in flesh and blood. And hearing this loud exclamation from the second cart, the first cart people also now started seeing. And when they turned, they could also see. So everyone could see clearly and closely and tears of joy rolled down their cheeks. They are in the cart moving and they are seeing that Swami is following them and Swami is waving at them. Swami is blessing them. How much they long to see him one more time. The feeling was so intense that Swami had to manifest to make them feel blessed. Finally, Swami said, "Okay, Velli Randi, go, 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 go safely and come back soon." That is how the days were spent for these devotees who had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan in the 40s. There is another very beautiful incident that Srimati Sucharita narrates about their first visit to Bhagwan in Bangalore way back in 1944. So her mother and aunt had the wonderful privilege of seeing Swami in her paternal grandfather's house, and Swami happened to ask her mother and aunt to sing for him, and Swami loved their singing so much that Swami started calling them Patalammailu, the sisters who sing, the singing sisters. Her father had not yet seen Swami, but the very next day Swami visited a devotee's home in Bangalore near Lal Bagh Gardens, and her mother and aunt had gone there and they were inside the house while her father reached a little later. Her father was seeing Swami for the first time that day. Swami was just 18 years old then. Swami's hair was not like how we see in the photographs now, a beautiful halo. At that point in time, you could see the partition. And as her father reached that place, he was thinking how to go inside, but suddenly Swami came from inside and Swami called him in, and Swami very gently asked him if he was Savitramma's son. And then Swami started talking to her father. He asked him about his health, and then Swami materialized a banana and gave it to her father, and Swami told, "Eat it up along with the skin." And her father did as he was told, and later Swami took him inside the house. And once Bhagwan went inside, even before her mother could meet Swami and tell about the supposed arrival of her father, mother wanted to inform Swami that her husband is going to come, but Swami went and told the mother, yeah, I saw your husband and I already gave him prasadam. So that is how Swami overwhelmed them with his care, with his concern and with his love. In fact, there's a very beautiful incident that happened during the festival season of 1947-48. Dasara was fast approaching, and having taken part in several festivals after the mandir was constructed in 1945, the enthusiasm and the participation in the festivals became more and more for the devotees. They wanted to give their best to Bhagwan for every celebration, be it doing the decoration, the archanas, the bhajan, the meals, the processions. They always wanted it to be the best for Swami for every festival. So for this particular Dasara festival, the group did not want to miss any aspect for whatever reason. The whole Dasara celebration, the Navaratri, then festival of 9 nights, all the members of the group, they worked out an elaborate schedule and they decided to pack all the grocery to avoid facing shortage of any material for them when they are in Parthi during this long celebration. And someone thought, why don't we take a cook also along with us, so that all the women also can be busy doing preparations for the festivals instead of being bothered about making meals for the menfolk and for everyone else. So that is how that year, in the contingent of nearly 50 to 55 people who came from Bengaluru, most of them, in fact all of them except three, were women and children. There were only three gentlemen. One was Sri Seshagiri Rao, Sucharita's grandfather, the first priest of Prashanthi Nilayam. The second was an uncle of Sucharita, Ananda Sagar, and the third was the cook. So except for three male members, everybody else was women or children. But the enthusiasm was mounting, and some people said, let's take sweet, savories. They packed everything so that all the children also are taken care of well. They don't have to depend on anyone or any other town for their daily needs during the stay in Puttaparthi. So they worked out a very beautiful schedule and they wanted to stay in Parshanti for the full 10 days. And they planned to travel up to Makkajipalli, not the Penukonda, because there was always some problem in the station. The plan was to engage bullock carts, maybe 8 to 9, to travel to Puttaparthi from Makkajipalli railway station. They want to take the bullock carts because they wanted to avoid the horse-drawn carriages, and it's always very difficult. So they fixed up the previous day before the commencement of the Dasara celebrations, and they started off their journey. It was a very big group. So they met at the city railway station in the morning. They all had high expectations. They were all in the happiest of mood throughout the journey. They were singing. They were recalling their earlier experiences with Swami. They went on planning as to how they were going to do this celebration, the 10-day festival in Puttaparthi. The train reached Makkajipalli, where they all got down, and they were quite lucky because they got a very good deal in fixing up the bullock carts to take them right up to the mandir in Puttaparthi. So they started their onward journey. Around 4 o'clock, they reached Kottacheru area. Now they had to cross a rivulet to reach Kottacheru village. And then a drama started. The sky that was bright until then suddenly became dark. Thick rain-bearing clouds gathered, and by the time they reached the rivulet, the cart drivers appeared to be tensed. They could see tributary of Chitravati in floods. The water was gushing really forcefully. The height of the flowing water was only rising. And they were far from any village around. The situation was becoming only fearsome. They neither could go backward nor go forward. They were at the mercy of the rain god. All the people were tensed. They didn't know what to do. Meanwhile, the cook wanted to check the depth of the water. In spite of warning by the cartman, he tried to get into the water. And the first step he took, water went up to his knees. The second step he took, the water came up to his chest, and he was somehow saved from being carried away by the gushing waters by the timely help given by the cartman. So everyone was in panic, and they were all just shouting, "Swami, Swami, Swami." Time was running out, tension was rising, and all the people were very stressed, all the women and children. And right at that time, they heard some loud voices coming from the right-hand side. Naturally, all the heads turned towards the direction, and they saw 8 men sitting and smoking. They were sturdy, dark, and they had like "I don't care" attitude. But when they saw these people and the problem that they were in, this cartman explained to them the problem that this group was having to go to Puttaparthi. They want to reach Puttaparthi the earliest. These people said, "You know what, you should give up this thought of going to Puttaparthi." But when these people said, no, "We have to go, we have to go. There's a big celebration there." Then those people asked, "Okay, how much will you give me? How much will you give per cart if we helped you to cross the river?" And so some bargaining happened, and finally they agreed to help this group at the cost of 10 rupees per cart. And so these 8 men distributed the members equally in the carts. They then asked the first cart to go to the edge of the bank. They set themselves 4 on each side of the cart. And all these people had to be very passive onlookers. Their plan turned out to be support the cart, 4 on each side, swim across, and all the while they were shouting as loud as ever, because their strategy was to help the bullocks to swim across the river, and once you shout, then it scares the bullocks a bit, and the bullocks swim fast. With the force of the river, the cart could not go straight, rather it went diagonally. So the sight of the cart was very frightful. But on seeing the first cart safe on the other bank, that brought some hope to the onlookers. And that is how, with a lot of trepidation and lot of tension, somehow this group reached the other bank. And after the last cart reached the other bank, those men collected the money. And even as they were watching, these people wanted to know who these people were who came to help them. Those people just disappeared. Or it appeared like that. They disappeared into thin air. It was getting darker. So finally, this group reached Kottacheru. The village was dark. No lights anywhere. All the houses had shut because it was night. And as though this was not bad enough, it started raining and it was pouring. And again, people didn't know how to do, where to go. Again, trying ఓన్లీ ప్రేయింగ్ టు స్వామి డెస్పరేట్లీ. స్వామి టు సే నేనున్న ఐఎమ్ దేర్ నో, ఐఎమ్ దేర్ నో. అండ్ సడన్లీ దే సా ఎ యంగ్ మ్యాన్ డ్రెస్డ్ ఇన్ వైట్ పైజామా కుర్తా వాక్డ్ అప్ టు దెమ్. హీ హ్యాడ్ ఎ ల్యాంటర్న్ ఇన్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్. హీ వాక్డ్ అప్ టు ది ఎల్డర్స్ అండ్ ఎన్క్వైర్డ్ అబౌట్ దెమ్. దెన్ హీ సజెస్టెడ్ దాట్ యు నో యూ డోంట్ కంటిన్యూ యువర్ జర్నీ నౌ. హీ సెడ్ ఐ విల్ అరేంజ్ సంథింగ్ ఫర్ యూ. And he went back and it was still pouring. He came back with the keys of his school and he asked the entire group to settle down there for the night. And he went back again, returned now with a can of full flask of milk and a kerosene stove. And so he asked the people to spend the night in the school building. And the next morning he came again to help this group and to see them through the journey. The journey continued for another 3-4 hours before they could reach Parthi. By 10:30 a.m. they reached Parthi. So it's almost 24 hours looks like to reach Puttaparthi. And there was no sign of any festival anywhere. Even before they could get down from the cart, Swami was standing at the entrance of the mandir as though to receive them. All the people were so perplexed and Swami was so much concerned. He was asking, "Oh, Vachara, you have come, you have come. Chala tundra ayindi kada, you went through a lot, isn't it? You have all come, you all come. You have suffered so much, isn't it?" And he asked them how they are and he helped them to unload the luggage and everyone was staring at this group. Who is this group? Swami was so eagerly waiting for them. And after they reached Bhagwan, they knew that now everything will be taken care of. In fact, then the next day, the people told them that Swami, in the previous afternoon itself, Swami was telling, "My devotees are coming, my devotees are coming." Swami said, "No, no, my devotees have got into trouble." And when he said that, the previous afternoon, "My devotees have got into trouble," Swami went into a trance and Swami left his body. And all the devotees were alerted. They knew that Swami has gone to rescue someone. And Swami went on to say that Dasara will start on the second day, Swami said. And that is how that day, when Swami left the body, Swami came to the rescue once. And again that afternoon, that evening, Swami left his body. Swami said, "No, my devotees are waiting. My devotees are in suffering." And bhajan started. And later on when Bhagwan came back, that is when the bhajan became normal. In the morning also, Swami kept saying, "My devotees are coming. My devotees are coming." This is the drama that Swami staged. The 8 men who helped them cross the swirling waters of the stream, the young man who came to help them with a lantern, keys, milk. Everything was so beautifully, divinely orchestrated so the people could come to Prashantinilayam for their Dasara and know the joy of living with the one who will look after them no matter what. Yoga Kshemam Bhamyam, wherever you are, however you are, you think of me intensely and I will be there. And that is what got instilled in these devotees in a manner that remained with them throughout not only their lives but the lives of every member of the succeeding generations in their family. Nenu eppudu mi intane ventane kantane jantane unnanu. As Swami used to say, I am always with you, in you, around you, above you, below you. And this is what these devotees have experienced from the 40s and 50s, so beautifully documented in the book Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. Thank you, Swami, for giving us these lovely tales. There are so many people who have seen Bhagwan during those times, but at least some have put it down, and that's the reason why we are able to relive these lovely moments of the hundreds who had the chance to see him. At least we are able to get few drops of those timeless moments, thanks to his grace and thanks to the inspiration he gave to Srimati Sucharita and so many others to pen down these experiences as the Krishnashtami celebrations now gather momentum. We just have to be lost in this lovely sweetness that is Bhagwan and fill our lives with all that he has done for us and all that He continues to do for us. We only have to see that this prema and bhakti that we have for Him only grows every day with intensity, so that every moment of our lives we feel His presence, His proximity. Dear listeners, there are many more tales from this book, and I will continue this in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with us through this program. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your comments by sending your messages to our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. Thank you so much. Sign out.
प्रेम भक्ति जगाओ मन में प्रेम भक्ति जगाओ मन में आओ मेरे हृदय बाबा तुम हो दीन जनों के बाबा तुम हो दीन जनों के बाबा भक्त जनों के साई तुम हो भक्त जनों के साई आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा बाबा प्रेम भक्ति जगाओ मन में आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा तुम हो दीन जनों के बाबा तुम हो भक्त जनों के साई आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा बाबा प्रेम भक्ति जगाओ